Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast, hour number two here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty here today. Of course, Scotty out rest of the week. He'll be back on Monday with you. Get me and Joe today. You get me and the mayor of Miami, Joe Ranieri, tomorrow as we're going to be getting you set. First weekend of real football, honestly, with week zero in college kicking off on Saturday in Dublin at the Aviva between Florida State and Georgia Tech. We'll get some of, we're going to get, me and Joe are going to get in the mix with that. Coming up later this hour as well. We'll have Joe Pisapia this hour, do some fantasy football with him. We've got Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel on the college as well later in the hour. Joe, before I get to tonight's games. Yes.
No, Mayor of Miami. I didn't know Mayor of Miami Ranieri. I didn't know that.
That's the word on the street.
Really?
Mayor of Miami. Word on the street.
I'll put in a call next time. Now I got to make a call next time.
That's the guy you got to call. So the Rays and the A's both had two runners on in the first inning. Neither of them scored.
Good. I hope it's 1-0.
I don't. I'd like to see a couple homers on the Oakland side, to be quite honest with you, Joe, if I could get that. And speaking of zeros, bottom seven, zeros, Brewers and the Cards. Maybe that game can still bust out.
I mean, can I get 10 and a half? Can I get nine runs in the top of the 10th?
Well, think about it this way, Joe. Here's how I'll give you your little silver lining of hope. From the eighth inning on last night, they scored eight runs from the eighth inning on. So I guess from the seventh innings on, they scored 12 runs. So maybe it gets going for you here in the bottom of the seventh and you get the same, you know, the same trajectory that you got last night.
2-2, realistically, got a shot, right? 2-2?
I mean, what do you mean realistically?
I mean, 2-2 is only four.
Like... I mean, that's four runs. You just told me you need what? 10, 11,
football rules, 12. With the old college football rules with the overtime, you were never out of an over. Now they killed that with the 2-point after the second one. They killed
but
that.
One, down like beyond beyond dopey. Wood. Those two-point conversions, beyond stupid, is what they do. Just don't have it at all at that point. All right, Joe, let's get into tonight. We do have a few games for you. We'll start in Pittsburgh with the Reds and the Pirates getting set for four at PNC this weekend. Nick Lodolo goes for the Reds tonight. Paul Skeens back out there for the Pirates. I've already complained how much I need him to pitch well. As of right now, Joe, minus -145 for Pittsburgh, plus +120 for Cincinnati, and a 7.5 tonight.
I'm going to take the Reds. I'm going to take a shot. You said Skeens is losing some juice. I like the fact that Cincinnati broke out with an 11-run performance. And guess what? I'll take a shot on the over. You might be getting a discount because Skeens is on the mound. So everybody thinks under. But maybe we should go up, up, up and away. Maybe 9.5, 10 is not out of the realm of possibility tonight with the red-hot Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, I don't know, Joe. I can't go with you. I can't. I'm not getting involved here. Now, I'm going to go after Lodolo when we get to the tater time. I will go after him a little bit with one of the bats on the Pirates, but I got to root for Skeens to pitch well. So you probably should go with the alt over in that tonight. If I'm rooting for him to pitch well, you're going to get it, and I won't. The Angels are in Toronto against the Blue Jays. They'll be there this whole weekend for four. Ryan Burr goes for Toronto. Griffin Canning is going for the Angels, which I'm glad that's finally official, because now I'm going to get in the mix with Big Bad Vlad now tonight, Joe. But minus 150 for the Jays, plus $1.25 for the Angels, and an 8.5 the total here.
Going to take a shot. I'm going to take the Angels plus the 134. I'm going to go up, 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 and away. Maybe we could get into the 11 or 12 area tonight. Can the Rays, can the Blue Jays knock around the Angels here early, push a little tempo?
Well,
that's what the Blue Jays, because they always start slow. Always.
Yeah. They always start slow. And here's the other thing for me, Joe. Just look at these last couple days with Toronto, right? They've scored a bunch of runs. They give up tons of runs. They've got legit one of the worst bullpens in baseball in terms of giving up runs right now. The Angels give up tons of runs. Canning, I think, has given up the second most runs in baseball this year. He's got like a 10 ERA in the first inning. You know, so I think, Joe, this is a perfect recipe for up, 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 and away. We have these two teams. And like I said, Canning, yesterday he was starting. Then this morning he was off the board, which put all the homer numbers off the board. I did want to play Vlad against Canning tonight, so I will add him once I get all the homers going for us in a little bit. Houston into Baltimore for four this weekend. Spencer Arrighetti, get me the spaghetti, goes for Houston. And Corbin Burns for the Orioles, minus 160, plus $1.35 for the Astros, and an 8.5 in this, even with Burns on the mound.
I like the Astros tonight, but I like the over. I think we can get this over fairly easy. And I know Houston has struggled a little bit in terms of consistency with the White Sox. We saw the Orioles struggle a little bit with the Mets, in regards to that last series. But 8.5, I think, is doable tonight in Baltimore, as long as the weather is okay and it's not, windy or rainy. I think we're okay. So give me Houston, but I really like the over 8.5 in this matchup.
Like the over 8.5 with Houston. All right there, Joe. Next, last night I thought that the Phillies and the Braves would give us some runs. They were not able to do that for us. Maybe tonight's the night. Christopher Sanchez and Spencer Schwellenbach going. Minus 115 for the Braves, minus 105 for the Phillies. 7.5, so the low total again here, Joe, for these two.
I mean, I would lean to the over just because it's your play, meaning the night after you like something, typically it comes in, but I'll take the Braves. I'm probably not going to play the total because this has been a dead under series, but I do lean to the over, and I like the Braves in terms of this matchup.
Yeah, Sanchez, of course, Joe, has been very good for the Phillies this year. 3.46 ERA, only has allowed 5 homers in 140 innings. That is outstanding. So I would not be trying for the long balls against Christopher Sanchez tonight, that is for sure. Only one late-night game for us tonight, Joe, which we usually love, the late-night games, especially on Carver and Lisi. We're only going to get one of them, and it's the Mets opening up 4 in San Diego against the Padres. Luis Severino and Dylan Cease are going to be the starters tonight, minus 160 for the Padres, plus $1.35 for the Mets, and a 7.5 here, Joe.
I'll take the Mets, but doesn't this total smell a little bit? I mean, I know you have a pretty good pitching matchup on the mound, but 7.5? Every Met game goes over, and we saw the Padres break out against the Twins. I mean, you don't think that this is low? I don't know. I like the Mets, but something tells me under here. Just doesn't make sense, Carver.
It doesn't make sense, Joe. You're right. I kind of like the over as well. Severino's coming off a complete game. Cease has obviously pitched pretty well. But
7.5?
7.5's light. 7.5's light. I don't disagree with you.
Every game is in the 9 or 10s.
We can't play every game. Here's the one thing, Joe. We can't play every game to the over tonight. All right? We just can't. That never goes well.
I'm going to take a shot. Toronto, Cincinnati, and then one of the middle.
It's only 5 games.
I'm taking 3 of them. Toronto, Cincinnati, and Baltimore.
If I had to take 3, Joe, it's Toronto, Baltimore, and the Met-Padre game. Those would be the 3 that I would go to.
All right.
I'd go to the Met-Padre game for those 3. I have homers for you later on. We'll come back, though, first get in the mix. Lots of fantasy football drafts this weekend. Joe Pisapia, our man from Fantasy Sports Today here on the grid, will come back and we will get into a bunch of that. Lots of football later as well. For El Coast to Coast on a Thursday, we're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty on SportsGrid and SportsGrid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today. Of course, it's always great to have Joe Pisapia with us, and you will catch Joe. You catch Joe Sunday mornings on Fantasy Sports Today as it is. You'll also catch Joe every Sunday morning throughout the football season on Fantasy Sports Today, getting you ready for that day. Joe, good to see you as always, my man. And look, I think that we finally hit the time, right? Like, I'm a guy that I know you do. You've probably done 15 drafts already, 20 drafts, 25 drafts, whatever it is. You guys are all nuts. I'm the type, though, that's still in the I've got my two or three that I do, and I will refuse. If you want me in a league and you want me drafting before the last preseason game, I'm out. I'm not going to be in your league. There's just no chance that I'll be there. I need to wait, Joe, until the table is set and everybody's ready to go, and I know who's where and who's doing what. Like, Labor Day weekend's when I want mine. Like, that's when I don't care. I'll carve out the time. I'll get away from the family. But
I'll tell you this. If you, the only thing, yes. Craig Mish is worse than you. Craig Mish likes to draft after the season's over. That's how late Craig Mish likes to draft. He likes to say, you know, when is it? When is week 18? All right, we'll draft then. That's what we're going to draft. But I plead the fifth to how many drafts I've already done and how many leagues I'm in. I refuse to incriminate myself on those grounds. So let's just say that I've got, let's see, 6 or 7 left here before we get to the opener. So what's interesting, though, Carver, when you do the early drafts, there are some values there, and especially in those best ball leagues, right? Because if you do your homework and you kind of understand what situations are going to be, they actually can really, you know, put you ahead of some other people in situations such as best ball. It's now when, you know, everybody else, the casuals are starting to catch up, where leagues get a little more difficult in terms of the drafts and the ADP starts to catch up and there seems to be maybe a little less value on the board. But again, drafting later is right. Listen to Carver. He's a very smart, handsome man. He knows what he's talking about. The later you draft, the better chance you have at least to go in where you're going to have a healthy team at least for week one.
Now, you're going to be smarter than me on a couple of these other things that I'm going to throw you right now. Let's start with this. We've got three big-time wide receivers who have done nothing the entire training camp. They're not going to do anything the entire training camp. And as far as I'm concerned, all three of them, one way or the other, are going to roll out their week one, and they're going to play in their games. Now, Ayuk, is it going to be for San Francisco or somebody else? I don't know. But I'm pretty confident, Joe, that all three of these guys are going to play once the money is actually on the table for week one. So how concerned are you with CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Brandon Ayuk? Is it affecting you when you're drafting right now? Is it affecting anybody when they're drafting right now?
One of them is. It's not CeeDee Lamb, and it's not Ja'Marr Chase. For the reason is simply those guys are just way too necessary to their team's success, and they're first-round picks. So either you're taking them or you're not. You're either dumping in the pool. You're not wrong. Is, you know, the longer sometimes it takes for these guys to be there, you know, the good thing is about the holding in, like Chase is holding in. So at least he's around, getting some workouts in, some stuff like that. But on the field, different story. I don't worry as much about the wide receivers as I do, let's say, the running backs. When the running backs tend to hold out, they tend to have a lot more of those soft tissue injuries where they're not getting their reps in because it's a different position. It demands a little bit more of them in terms of some of those reps and the way they take them. Ayuk is the guy that I am concerned with because his ADP is kind of wedged into a bunch of wide receivers that I think have – you can make an argument for those guys over Ayuk in the first place. Jalen Waddle, Michael Pittman Jr., Nico Collins, maybe even Cooper Kupp, right, if you're really feeling lucky about rolling the dice with Kupp. But if you're looking at those kind of wide receivers in that same range, why would you take Ayuk, who hasn't been around there, why, if you are worried about that? So it's kind of like you got to either jump in the pool with 2 feet there and realize, A, there's some risk here with Lamb, but he is the offense. Same thing with Ja'Marr Chase. He is the go-to guy, whereas Ayuk isn't. It's Christian McCaffrey. It's Deebo Samuel. It's George Kittle. Oh, yeah, and it's also Ayuk, too. So for the ADP, I think Ayuk is the one that I would fade easier by far, and you could certainly make the argument the guys around him are as good, if not better, potential investments.
Joe, I know a lot of people make a big deal about where they're picking in the first round, who am I going to get in the first round, second round, and that's, listen, it's important, obviously. You want to have the best player that you could possibly get, but Where are these leagues usually won, Joe? You know it. Between 6 and 9, 6 and 10. That's where the money is made in fantasy football. Give me one or a couple running backs and wide receivers that you are targeting and you're seeing guys you think could win your league in that area.
You're 100% correct again. See, look at you. You're just batting 1,000 today, Carver. I would say this. Try. You're looking at guys who jump a tier, right? Guys you can draft as wide receiver twos that plays like ones, threes that play like twos. That's how you get ahead in your fantasy league, and that's how you win. Some guys of that ilk, Terry McLaurin being drafted somewhere around wide receiver 34 right now. Meanwhile, the guy's had 4 straight years of 1,000 yards receiving with the worst bum quarterback play you could possibly imagine throughout his career. Now he's getting Jaden Daniels, who's a terrific talent. So right off the bat, there's a guy, if you're starting your team with a Breece Hall or Bijan Robinson in the first round, you're trying to make up ground at wide receiver, that's one way to go. Another guy, wide receiver 40, Christian Watson. He's the best talent on that roster at the position. There's no doubt about that. I will fight anybody who says differently. And all the metrics prove it out. If he's got these hamstring issues behind him, he seems like he's been working all season with a team of doctors in the offseason trying to get that imbalance corrected. That way he can avoid these issues going forward. He is an explosive playmaker, big plays, touchdown equity, and playing with a quarterback last year in Jordan Love, who in the last 8 games had 18 touchdowns, just 1 interception, averaging 270 yards basically per game over that stretch run. And that was without Christian Watson or much of a run game. So just imagine how good it could be. Christian Watson's a guy you could draft as a 4 or 5 wide receiver who could very well end up as a top 12, top 10 guy. That's the upside that exists. So those are 2 guys in particular I'd be keeping an eye out for. Also, Rushy Rice, another player that I think is being undervalued because of the looming concerns about, well, is he going to get suspended? Is he not? The court date's not till December 9th. Typically, the NFL likes to wait for the court system to bear things out. And by the time you get into December, look, they're not going to be looking to get rid of Rushy Rice from all those Christmas Day games and things like that. They know what they got with the Chiefs. Next year, I think, is when any suspension is coming. On the running back position, real quick, a couple guys in particular. Zamir White, I think, is going way too late. Mm. He has got the job. He has got the full workload there. And they've already showed Antonio Pierce is going to run the football. And the other guy, too, Jalen Wright of the Miami Dolphins. Don't sleep on him. Mostert is 32. Achan has his injury history. That guy could be a huge difference maker at the running back position as the season goes on.
10 seconds, Joe. Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels? Who do you like more?
Ooh, Jaden Daniels is a better investment for rookie of the year because you're getting a better number. How's that for an answer? Go Commanders.
I agree with you. Joe Lisi does as well. Joe, we'll see you every Sunday morning here on Sports Good for Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Pizzapia, we're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Thursday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today. All right, Joe. There's a few updates from these baseball games. First of all, the Cardinals have cracked through against Milwaukee. It's 3-0, bottom of the 7th, 2 outs, and they still have the bases juiced. Yeah. They've scored all their runs here. They walked in a run. Fielder's Choice scored a run, and an Arenado single scored a run. So they're not exactly ripping the cover off the ball, Joe, but effective. Unfortunately, your boy Baker didn't get it done. And they go to the 8th as he got made an out with the bases loaded there. So they only get 3. But now, Joe, the ball can start to roll for you a little bit. You need a 3 spot from the Brewers now in response in the top of the 8th, and suddenly you get back in the mix.
Well, just get me 8 runs in the top of the 8th, and I'll take that. If I could get that, forget the dates. Forget the dates. Go with the Newt Bar. That's what I need. I thought Newbar was coming up. That kid's got a nice little swing. Forget the dates, Ricky. Go with the Newbar.
The Newbar. Get Newbar in there. He walked to load the bases right before Baker. Cubs now lead the Tigers 10-2 out at Wrigley. Dead over, Joe. 10-2. I said it. I know. And the A's are up 2-0 on the Rays in the bottom of the 3rd. So slowly chipping away, Joe, in that one. Maybe we can get something from Rooker here, you know, as he's up now, and he struck out swinging. So Rooker just doing nothing for us.
You realize, like, like half of me still believes that this over 10.5 in St. Louis could come in. Like I'm not willing to let go of the rope. I'm still part of
you're,
me. The
yeah,
left
but that's
side
part
of
you. You're never willing to let go of the rope. You're never willing
I'm
to let
fighter,
go of the
rope. I'm a fighter, Carver. I never
you're
give up until the final
never,
whistle.
Never.
We don't play for 58 minutes. 60 minutes, that's it. From start
no,
to finish.
We do not. We do not do that. That's for sure, Joe. All right, let's get to quickly the homers for tonight. Of course, it's all a right. limited slate. I told you there's only 5 games on the board, so some limited choices. But that doesn't mean, Joe, we're not going to try to get involved. We got Doyle this afternoon, so we're off to a decent start so far today, and we're going to try to keep it going tonight. We did get burger time last night, Joe, for some of our picks here on the show, so that was nice to see. All right, we'll start with Atlanta and Philadelphia. I told you how good Sanchez was on the Philly side of things. I'm not going after him with anybody on Atlanta, but I'll go after Schwellenbach, Joe. In fact, I'll go after him with Kyle Schwarber. Now, a few guys on the Phillies have seen Schwellenbach before, but Schwarber's actually one that hasn't. So that's he's got no history against them whatsoever. We know what Kyle likes to do, and I'm getting a nice number here. Plus 320 for Schwarber tonight. So let's start things off. Maybe, Joe, it's going back to the bell cows a little bit, but we'll get Schwarber going for us to start the taters. Next, Houston and Baltimore. Going to go after Arrighetti, who's allowed 17 homers this year in 110 innings, and the Orioles in their ballpark hit tons of home runs. And really, Joe, any time that I'm getting Santander over the 400 mark, I try to find a way to get him to my card. Plus 425, especially when he's going to be hitting from the left side, which is where he does most of his damage. Plus 425 for Santander tonight in Baltimore against the Astros. I'm not going to go after Corbin Burns on the other side in that game. I'm going to go for a double dip, Joe, tonight in San Diego with the Mets and the Padres. Now, this is a game where we do have some decent history for the pitchers. Manny Machado, plus 480 tonight, 4-for-17 with 3 homers off of Luis Severino in his career. Pretty good numbers there, so we'll go with Manny. And Francisco Lindor, Joe, believe it or not, also at plus 480, 3-for-9, all 3 hits, homers. 3-for-9 with 3 homers off of Dylan Cease in his career. So we will go with Machado and Francisco Lindor late night in San Diego. And I have to go with one bomb for you tonight, Joe. We have the lefty Nick Lodolo on the mound for Cincinnati. And the Bartman has been pretty good for the Buccos. He's hit 5 homers in the month of August. He always rakes against left-handed pitching. And I'm getting 7 bills tonight. The Bartman at plus 700 for the Buccos. Let's go, Joe.
Joey, don't call me Paul Bart. How about that?
And I will say, I wanted to put Big Bad Vlad in. And now that I know, and in fact, they took Canning off. Now it says that Burke is starting. Vlad's at plus 330. I think Vlad homers either way. That'll be a lot of runs in that game, Joe, between those two. There you go. Taters for tonight in Major League Baseball. From Coast to Coast, we're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Thursday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today. I haven't given you an update in the golf in a while, Joe. Keegan Bradley is in the clubhouse, a 6-under 66. He was a very big price for first-round leader. I was not on him, but I know that if you got a Keegan Bradley ticket, that is a great ticket. But he's going to have one chaser here, Joe, in the afternoon group. Adam Scott, Sungjae Im, Alex Noren, Corey Connors, they're all in the clubhouse at 4-under, but still out on the course at 4-under, and he's only on the 12th hole. Nicky Dunlap, who has been playing great the last couple of weeks, and he is 2 off the pace here, and he's got a bunch of holes left to go today. So I would say, Joe, if there's one guy who could maybe upset the apple cart for the Keegan Bradley first-round leader holders, it would be your boy, Nicky Dunlap, who you put on the map back when he won the Amex in January.
I did put him on the map, right? So it's an amazing. What is he? The first PGA player to win as a as an amateur and as a pro, right? So look at this
season.
Golf knowledge that I'm throwing down here on Coast to Coast. It's amazing, Carver. So
and
Dunlap,
he played great last week in Memphis in the first round of the playoffs.
I had him at 5-1. I had him at, you know.
You wouldn't have mattered. You had him in that dopey UFC bet parlay with
you
him.
Forced
so it didn't
me
make
into
a difference.
That bet. Duplessis.
I didn't force you in anything. I don't
you
force you in anything,
win.
Joe.
You said when I said
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
He said it's going to win.
You bet him for a knockout. He did win. You bet him for a knockout. He won by submission, unfortunately. Let's get into it, Joe. College football. This is, I mean, the encyclopedia of college football. Joe Lisi here with us. And we are, I mean, what is it now, Joe? I mean, you're what, less than 48 hours away
for
the kickoff of the college football season? Is this it? Saturday at noon East, Florida State and Georgia Tech will start the college football year. Across the pond in Dublin, at the Aviva in the Aer Lingus College Football Classic to get things going. Of course, and you get an ACC matchup in this game as well, Joe, with these two teams. 10.5 is where the number is today. Joe, what is open? 13.5? 14.5?
I didn't see 14.5. I saw 12.5. Now, okay. Again, I didn't see a 13 or a 13 and a hook. I thought it opened in multiple books at 12, 12.5, respectively, East Coast, West Coast. And that's where I saw it. And it really hasn't really fluctuated, Carver, until the last week where short money, the pros versus the Joes. This is it. The sharps are back in Haynes King and Brent Key. 7-2 against the number against ACC opponents last year. Haynes King, dual threat quarterback, 27 touchdowns, 16 INTs. Unbelievable.
Sounds like you don't agree with that assessment, Joe. It sounds like that's not your assessment for this game.
Well, I look at Florida State a little bit differently. I don't think they're a one-hit wonder. I was very high, and you and I were both critical of Mike Norvell. We can go back to that game when we started doing Carver and Lisi 3 years ago when they lost to Jacksonville State on the last play of the game, right? Everybody was high on Norvell when he had a 6.5 win total. They didn't achieve that number, and he was on the hot seat. But I'll give him credit. He stayed the course. They got better in terms of the interior line play. They were running the football. And what he's done on the defensive side of the ball, Carver, that secondary last year only gave up 179 passing yards per game and 12 passing touchdowns. They held opposing quarterbacks to 48% completion percentage. So he's done it on the defensive side of the ball. You get Marvin Jones that comes over from Georgia. Patrick Payton is potentially an All-American on the other side in terms of bookends. They're physical, and they've had first-round draft picks in back-to-back years. 2 years ago, Jermaine Johnson to the Jets and Jared Verse this year to the Rams. I think they dominate them. I'm almost willing to step up, and we're getting to the nitty-gritty. They blow them out. I think they absolutely blow them out in Aviva, all right? And I'm willing to stand behind that today. That's it. Best bet.
I hate when this happens, Joe. I really do, because I prefer that me and you are on the opposite side most of the time. I prefer to go after you, especially for the first game of the year. I would love to do it because I know it would bother you and get you all fired up. But I can't do it here, Joe. I actually agree with you. I think that Florida State's going to smash them on Saturday. I think Georgia Tech stinks. I think that it's going to be a squash job. I think it's not going to be a competitive game. Joe, this has got like 45-24 type of area for
me. I like the over.
I feel it's in that kind of realm. I like the over too, but I think it's like a 2+ touchdowns going away win for Florida State.
Again, you know, I agree with you, and I know DJU has been inconsistent, 21-7 last year, 57% completion percentage, but he's played in the conference. And think about this in regards to just Mike Norvell. You know, Jordan Travis was similar to DJU. He was an inconsistent quarterback, and somehow, some way, they have elevated him and got him to the level that he was last year, where at least he made it to the NFL. This is a team in Florida State that in back-to-back years, Carver, had actually beaten LSU.
Yes, as they have. As my, they have as beat them the last that, couple of years.
They have
for the last my, couple of years, indeed.
As so, my backdrop there went out, but there you go. I mean, what could you say? I mean, it is what it is. People knocked Florida State, but they knocked off Brian Kelly and LSU and Jaden Daniels in back-to-back weeks, years. They are a very good football team, and people selling them short at plus 154 is ridiculous, I think, to make the playoff.
Joe, here I'm of course always have to give you some numbers to go with some of these games. In the Brent Key era in Georgia Tech, now not great as a favorite, Joe, 1-4 ATS, 12-3 as a dog against the number for Brent Key and Georgia Tech. You like this guy, Joe. I know you do. Even though you think he's going to get smashed on Saturday, you like this guy.
He's a good
blue collar coach.
He is. He's a defensive-minded coach, and he predicates physicality. The problem with Georgia Tech is that last year they couldn't stop the run. They gave up 220 rushing yards to opposing offenses. And, again, that's where Florida State, I think, has an advantage in terms of being able to run it. And I don't think DJU might have to do all that much. I think they can run it to open up the play-action passing attack. So, again, I think Florida State covers this number fairly easy. And they're going to come with a chip on their shoulder.
On the other side of things, Joe, Norvell, since he's been at Florida State, home not great, 11-11 ATS. But how about road and neutral fields? 14-6 against the number for Mike Norvell over those 20 games. That's pretty good, Joe, over 20 games, 14-6. That's a great ATS number.
Oh, it is. And think about, again, they beat LSU in back-to-back years technically on a neutral field. They stepped up in Orlando last year, 2 years ago in New Orleans as well. This is now a very difficult, you know, environment in terms of going to Ireland and playing in Aviva. We know the stadium. It's a different landscape. And, again, it's going to come down to preparation. I do believe that Mike Norvell and the staff are more complete than Brent Key and their team right now. And it's not to take away from the Yellow Jackets. Haynes King is a legitimate quarterback, but again, he's turnover prone. I think that'll feed right into the secondary of Florida State, and I think that's where the mismatch occurs.
I'm with you, Joe, and it is going to be a lovely scene, as it is every year in the Dublin Classic. When they send these teams over to play at the Aviva, I've been there, Joe. It's quite a scene at that place. Just outside of the main city center there in Dublin. It'll be a great weekend for all the Florida State and Georgia Tech fans down at the Temple Bar, up and down O'Connell Street. Going to be outstanding for them there. And Florida State will cover, Joe, as we both just said. All right, we'll come back. More college football talk. I'm not done with you either, Joe, but Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel will get involved in the mix as well. For all Coast to Coast on a Thursday, we're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty on SportsGrid at SportsGrid Radio. Great to have everybody with us. Of course, we always love having Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel with us, too. And, of course, college football starts on Saturday. Saturday, week zero. I'm a little upset. I thought that the week zero schedule the last 2 years was a little bit better. They're not giving me as much this year, Matt. Only really, like, one game that matters. Two or three, like, little appetizers later in the day. But still, it's college football for real, and we're all very excited. Before I get to that, me and you were just talking in the break before we came back. You were saying it's been a long off season. I'm ready to finally have football back. This new day of college athletics and college football, does it feel like with NIL, realignment, all the things that now consume January through August, is it a longer off season or does it feel shorter? How has all that stuff changed covering college football on a day-to-day basis?
I think it's felt like a longer off season. I mean, for me at least. I mean, I mean, you think about all the stuff that goes on now. I mean, it used to be in February, you maybe had a chance to kind of slow down a little bit. Spring ball starts to kick in, you know, NFL draft, you know, and that kind of sort of thing. And then the summer just kind of was a little bit might have a snooze fest going into the season. But now, you know, you mentioned it, NIL, you mentioned the transfer portal. You've got two transfer portal windows, so you always got to keep your eye open on that to see what's going on there. We've had realignment. Schools have been moving around here or there. We've had, you know, lawsuits going on, you know, whether it's Florida State and Clemson battling ACC. You know, then you get the house settlement situation where you've got, you know, conferences trying to figure out what they're going to do with that, with house settlement and revenue sharing and all those kind of things. It's never ending. You're always on the phone talking to someone trying to figure out what's going on. So this offseason has felt kind of longer than usual, and I'm really eager to get kicking off this Saturday with Florida State and Georgia Tech.
And even with football here, it feels like all that stuff still goes. Like, Ferentz gets suspended for a game today. You know, Gundy the other day, who always is a great quote, talking about the agents got to stop asking for money. Mm-hmm. Like, there's still so many things off the field that are going on, but thankfully we're finally kicking the ball off. And it will kick off across the pond in Dublin at the Aviva for Florida State and Georgia Tech. Nice ACC game to get us going, Matt. And for Florida State, we all, of course, remember what happened last year. Most people feel screwed out of the college football playoff. Travis gets hurt. They go and get smashed by Georgia in that bowl game. They come back with this team, and it's a different team, Matt. I think that's the first thing that a lot of people have to realize. This is not the same squad that went undefeated and won the ACC last year. What do you think of this team as they get ready to open with Georgia Tech? We were just discussing it. You know, this number's gone down. They're only 10.5-point favorites here. Mm-hmm. Key's done a nice job kind of starting to build Georgia Tech back into a little bit of something. Your thoughts on the big opener Saturday?
Well, yeah, I think you're right. This is a different Florida State team. You know, I think there are a lot of people believe that Mike Norvell and this team is going to come in there with a chip on their shoulder. I don't necessarily see that. I mean, yes, they were upset about what happened at the end of last year. I talked to Mike about that a couple months after the season ended, and he said, listen, yeah, it's always going to be fresh in my mind, but you got to move on from that. You got to move on because you've got a new team, you got new players. You can't be focusing on that stuff. And I think that's a good message for them to have going into this game. He knows he's got to come back. They lost a lot of talent that went to the NFL. They had a lot of playmakers that went to the NFL. They had brought in a lot of transfers they feel like can help them out. Mike Norvell really has become kind of the transfer portal king. He's done a great job of bringing in guys that really kind of suit the needs that they have. You know, brought in DJ Uiagalelei to kind of come in and do the quarterback's position for them as well, replacing Jordan Travis. I feel like he's a good fit for what they want to do. He brought in some pieces on the defensive side of the football. They need some younger guys to step up and start making some plays. But this is still a Florida State team that is deep, has a lot of depth, and feels like a team that has a lot of athleticism and is going to go out there on the football field on Saturday. And they're going to try to prove to everyone, listen, we deserve to be mentioned this time again in the race for the college football playoff.
And you're going to get a lot of Florida State here early on because they're a big standalone game to start week zero. And they're also, Matt, standalone game in week one because they're playing the Monday night Labor Day game against Boston College. I was kind of surprised that was the opponent, but two really big spots, standalone eyes for Norvell to start this off this year.
Very much so. If you want to complain about your ESPN bias there, I don't necessarily know if that's the case because they got great windows. They got great television windows for them, you know what I mean? And I think if you're Michael Alford, he's a Florida State athletic director, you're excited about that. You get your team out there, you get your school out there, especially as you mentioned early on, with everything going on off the field with the lawsuit against the ACC, to have them kind of front and center, be the face of the ACC, so to speak, in the first couple of weeks. I think that's huge for them. And again, if they come away with a big win, you know, on Saturday against Georgia Tech, and they roll into that Boston College game, they got to continue to do the same sort of things. They can be 2-0. That's a lot for them. That gives them a lot of buzz moving forward, especially depending on what happens in the first couple of weeks, pushes their name out there early on and letting voters think about that when they're talking about what's going to happen with the 12-team playoff.
Is there anything else on Saturday you're actually interested in? I mean, SMU's playing Nevada. New Mexico's dogs at home to Montana State. This Delaware State team is taking planes, trains, and automobiles to get all the way to Hawaii, and they're 40-point dogs. There's really not a lot else on Saturday for week zero, but it's real football.
No, I think the thing that's interesting to me is SMU begins its ACC, its year in the ACC. This is a school, let's not forget, that isn't getting ACC money. This is a school that basically said, we'll come to your conference. We'll pay you to let us come to your conference. So, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they start things off. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a great game. I think all four of these games are double-digit favorites. So I think Florida State's really going to be the main course, and I think that's what everyone's going to really kind of enjoy.
You know, 30 seconds, Matt, I got left. SMU, interesting, though, and you're right. They wanted to get in so bad, they're not even taking any cash to do it. Will their style of play kind of take the other ACC teams maybe off guard at first? You know, wide open, fast, up and down? Because there's not a lot of teams in the ACC that do that.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they're going to surprise some teams. I mean, they're going to come in there and they're going to figure a way to kind of, you know, get teams to have to go back on their heels a little bit. You know, ACC is much more of a, you know, run the football, slog it around a little bit. But now, you know, you bring in an SMU team that's going to throw the ball. They're going to try to pump as many points as they possibly can. I think it's going to be a challenge for a lot of these ACC defenses to get them.
We'll get through this week, Matt, and then next week it's really on Clemson and Georgia, Notre Dame and Texas A&M. We start the heavy hitter stuff. Matt Purcell from the Orlando Sentinel. We're back after this on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today. Of course, as we always like to tell you, you really should already have the new Sports Grid app. It is absolutely outstanding. It's available both at the iOS and the Play Store. You can track scores and live odds. Stay up to speed on all the latest content from your favorite host. You can follow Joe Lisi on there. And you should do it now because football season is here. And Joe, pillar to post this entire college football and NFL season. You'll see him everywhere. And you want to make sure you get all the clips of Joe doing the I said it, him, doing all of that. So make sure you get involved there. iOS and the Play Store. It is smarter to be on Sports Grid. Go to sportsgrid.com/watch to check out all the platforms where you can find us on. You can also listen to Sports Grid Radio on the app and hear me and Joe do Carver and Lisi, which is weeknights at 8 p.m. East. Okay, Joe, so we talked about that Georgia Tech-Florida State game. I was just saying to Matt, you know, it is hard. There's really not a lot else to chew on Saturday, Joe. Now, I know you're going to try to tell me you found some angles for all these games and these other games that are happening, but really, Joe, these are not great games for Week 0. I thought they were starting to get better with Week 0. I thought that they, you know, there was at least one or two, three decent matchups. We've kind of fallen off on that this year. You really just have the Dublin game with Florida State and Georgia Tech. These other games don't really get me going. You know, SMU, Nevada. Give me your thoughts on SMU, Nevada. I think SMU is going to smash them, Joe. I think they're going to come out, make a statement. New team in the ACC. Nevada is awful. They are awful, Joe. 24.5. I'd lay it at 34.5, Joe.
Well, now we disagree because the line is 27.5 because Brendan Lewis, the backup for Chuba Purdy, Brock Purdy's brother, that transferred from Iowa State and Florida State, is banged up. So that's what you get. I still think that Nevada's live in regards to the points perspective. I know it's SMU. I know it's Preston Stone. He threw for 32 touchdowns, and SMU can run it. They could throw it. They averaged 35 points per game. That's not the issue. Their defense was rock solid last year. But again, I think Nevada gets them into an uglier type of game, shortens the game for the most part where they could cover the 4-touchdown spread, especially when you have 6 months to prepare in terms of tape. You got to hope that the Nevada staff has these kids ready for at least a 27.5 point number. So give me the dog in terms of this matchup.
Yeah, you're gutless. I mean, that's pretty much all I can say to you here. Yeah,
why
come
am I
on,
gutless?
You're in Nevada.
Star, you're
you
going
back
out
at Nevada.
SMU,
Nevada.
Fast-paced. Oh,
in fact,
the ACC hasn't seen this. Yeah, I know. The ACC hasn't seen it. North Carolina runs up-tempo and all this other stuff. Let's go.
They're going to blitz some of these teams, Joe. They're going to blitz some of these teams in the ACC for the first time.
They're going to blitz.
They'll get the over 55.5 by themselves in this game. SMU. They'll get the over 55.5.
Can I take
by
that?
By themselves. 56 points they'll score.
Can I take
by
that?
Themselves.
Now, you see, you just did this. You know what
Come
it is?
Come on.
You know, you
come on.
We have talked about this game ad nauseum on Carver and Lisi, and you know that I said I would take the points week one. So you're driving the bus. It's your bus today, and you're going express as opposed to making local stops. That's fine.
I'll make a local stop. Go ahead. Tell me what are you looking for?
27.5. I have no problem. I'll take the 27.5. And you know what? I might make it a best bet for tomorrow night. You want to go right out on a limb? Let's give the best bet for Corver and Lisi right now.
We only got like four games to pick tomorrow night for the first college football picks on Corver and Lisi. So there are really only so many games that we can go to. That's for sure, including the late night bailout blowout as well. Delaware State and Hawaii, is now at 39.5, 56.5 for the total. Man, I can't lay 39.5 with Hawaii.
I gotta take the over on principle. I mean, on principle alone, week one, Hawaii. They're playing on the home field. They got the full stadium in effect. You don't see the box trucks running on the highway anymore. So that's a good sign. So let's take the over 56.5.
Are they going to score all 57? Are they going to score? Because I don't know if the Hornets of Delaware State are going to contribute too much to that number, Joe. I'd rather lay the 39 than take the over, to be quite honest with you. We got more to do. Another hour to come. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty. We're back after this.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.